Greetings from CWH. We are thrilled you could join us for another message from God's Word with my dad, Pastor Salem. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and join Dad for his message that speaks on how we should pray and the privilege of prayer in his sermon titled, Take Time to Pray.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we just want to thank you for opening your door and letting us come in. And I know you're going to be blessed. You're going to just have a blessing out of our service today. And because we're going to talk about prayer, it's time to pray. And so who can pray, and where do you pray, and what do you pray, and why do you pray? And oh, there's a lot of things. We're just going to have a good time talking about prayer. But before that, I want to read a couple of the letters we have, two or three letters here. And I want to thank you all for writing. At the close of the service, we'll give our address. And so you get your pencil and paper ready, because we love to hear from you. And we reread every letter we get. And if you have a question, we try to answer that. So let's see what we have here. We have one from Seattle, Washington. And this lady writes and says, my husband had emergency surgery. He was suffering with great pain and loneliness. A Christian nurse helped him pray. And when he got home, he received the new song. Everything written by the pastor was like it was written for him. God bless you. And so I read this letter because here's something that's very beautiful. Here's this man in the hospital, and he's nervous, and he's afraid, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. And the nurse is a Christian, and she prays with him. So wherever you are, Christians, you pray with the people. Be good to the people. Witness to the people. You could change a life. And the second thing I want you to see is they received the new song, and it seems like it was written just for him. Now, the new song is a little Bible study that we put out every month. And we just call it the new song. And this month, the month of September, it's going to be about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how much does it cost? Zero. We are so nice and so good-hearted, we can't even charge you for it. We just send it free. And if you want to send a gift, well, praise the Lord, because we sure don't have enough money to do it. But it's free, and we send it to a lot of prisons all over the United States, from Alaska to Mexico, from Maine to California. We hear at one prison, we hear from over 14 different prisoners, and they have no money, and maybe they'll send a 5 or a 10 or something. But so we'll just send this little booklet, new song. Here's Dunnellan, Florida. Loved your sermon this week about old people and shut-ins. That is me since I am old and broke. I have no friends, no church, no pastor, no family, no neighbors. So I get awful lonesome. I don't even get phone calls. It is like everyone buried me alive. But now listen here what she says. I am disabled, so that doesn't help. But God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will never leave me or forsake me, and will love me unconditionally, and you understand, and don't forget to pray for us. So we pray for the shut-ins every service. Pray for the people that are accepting Jesus. We pray for the young people, and we pray for those who are on beds of sickness or shut-ins, everyone. But here she is, and you can't write to her because she didn't give her address, didn't give her name or address, but you can pray for her. And she knows Jesus, and she's getting strength from Jesus. Jesus knows all about it. He knows how she feels. He's touched infirmities just as we are. He's been in the flesh. He is in the flesh right now in heaven, and he knows what we're up against. Here is Sao Paulo, Brazil, and this one comes shortwave. I've heard you today on shortwave with Christian Worship Hour program. I know you are celebrating your 96th birthday. This letter is just to wish you all the best for this important day. God bless you and your mission. Sorry for my poor English. I speak Portuguese. Sincerely yours. Well, he does a beautiful job, I'm going to tell you. He speaks Portuguese, not English. I speak English, and I don't know one single word in Portuguese. I do in French, Chevrolet. I know that's French. And that's the extent of my foreign language. But here's this dear brother, and he's from Shortwave. And oh, we'd love to hear from more of you from Shortwave. It'd just be so wonderful. And now at the end of the service, I'm going to give the address, and maybe some more of you will write. We hear from some, but oh, we'd love to hear from all of you. And we'll answer your email when you write to us. One more we want to share, and this is Wasilla, Alaska. And listen to this now. She says, I was led to Jesus at a young age of 9 years by my sister when she was 17 years old. And that's not all. When my sister, who was 17 years old, but only 2 months old as a newly born again Christian. I think that's one of the most beautiful sentences I've seen for a long time. This young lady, 17 years old, has been a Christian for 60 days, and she leads her brother to Jesus. Now, how do you do that? Well, you just tell them, listen, ask Jesus to come into your heart and to take away your sins. Promise you'll serve him and love him, and then thank him. That's it. And here's this girl, 60 days Christian, leading her brother to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Well, let's look at this matter of prayer. And it's time to pray. And that's one of the greatest blessings that we have, is that open door to the very presence of God. And when we accept Jesus Christ and we're a child of God, that door is open. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There you have it, as plain as day, the child of God going to God in prayer. So the first thing we want to ask about, who can pray? Who can pray? Well, first of all, it is a child, the child of God, that has this privilege. That is someone who has placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who has taken Jesus into their hearts. And by asking Jesus to come into the heart and take away their sins, they've been born again. They've been born from above. They've been regenerated. They've been saved. They've experienced the new birth. Call it what you want. It's all the same thing. Putting our faith and asking Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sins. And it is a poor lost sinner coming to Jesus, and he cleanses us from our sins, and he makes us his child, and then we can talk to him as a child talks to his father. Jesus said, you must be born again. John put it this way, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Or he says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's hell. Oh, dear God, have mercy on their soul. And so we need to come to Jesus. And so we ask the question, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you heard about him, if you know about him, or anything like that. Almost everybody has. But I'm asking you, have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? And if you haven't, you can do it right now while I'm talking and just breathe those prayers in your own words. And I had one man, and he had a brain cancer, and he knew he didn't have a lot of time. And I talked to him. I don't know if he'd ever prayed before, but he asked Jesus to forgive his sins and come into his heart. And then, you know, he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. What? Who cares? God's looking at the heart. You just talk to him. But it has to be a child of God to pray. So then the second thing we say, why do we pray anyway? Well, there's several reasons. First of all, it means that we have fellowship and communion with God. It means we're alone with God, not the whole world with him. Or like being with some big figure, famous figure, and there's crowds everywhere. Jesus, we can talk to God personally. What a wonderful privilege it is. Because we have a relationship with God himself. He is our father, and we are his son and his daughter. We are his child, and we talk to him like we would to our father. And that talking needs to be followed by listening. And after we talk to God, then listen and just wait on him. And I don't hear voices. Some people say, well, does he talk out loud to you? I've never heard him talk out loud to me. And I've never seen any lights, and I've never heard any horns or whistles or bells or anything like that. But because when we accept Jesus, it is a contract. Feelings doesn't have a thing to do with it. He says, if you will call in the name of the Lord, will be saved. I call in the name of the Lord and I'm saved. That's all. Don't make it so hard. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come and find salvation. And so this wonderful Lord, we must be in peace. We have to come in a two-way conversation. We talk to God and he talks to us. And then we pray because we have needs. We're all a needy people. We have needs, spiritual needs, material needs, emotional needs. We have all kinds of needs. And we go to the Father in heaven and we talk to him about it. And he helps us and he shows us the way and blesses us. And our Heavenly Father needs a little child. And he takes us a little child and he just blesses us and he helps us. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And we have that wonderful relationship with the Lord. And I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. I'm 96 years old now. I'm 86 years and I've been with Jesus. And there's times I've drifted away. And there's times that I've done my sins. And there's times that I've done the wrong thing. But why? I've drifted away. But always the Jesus was caring. Always the Father was caring. And when I told him, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I just tell Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And you know what he does? He puts his arms around me and he hugs me and he tells me that he loves me and I can go on walking with him. He wants to do that with you, just like the prodigal son. Here he comes and he smells like a pig and a pig to a Jew. They couldn't even eat pork and he smells like a pork chop. And here he comes. And something else in the Middle East, the father never runs to the son. The elder never runs to the younger one. The younger one runs to the elderly one. But when the prodigal son, the old man ran to his son, put his arms around him. And if you drifted away from Jesus, have gone a long ways, you come back and you tell him you're sorry and you ask him to forgive you and he'll put his arms around you and he'll love you and he'll take you back. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I'll wash them away in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I love to preach the wonderful, wonderful message of God. And so this dear Lord Jesus, we need our help. And we talk to the Father all the time. And then the most important reason we pray is because God has told us to pray. That's why he says, I want you to talk to me. I want you to pray. He said, because he wants to talk to him, us to talk to him so that we have communion. And so we have fellowship. So we have guidance. So we have encouragement. So we have help. So we're told in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God is within us that we pray, and he wants to do it freely and openly as we talk to the Lord. And Jesus told us one time, he says in Luke 18, verse 1, he says, men ought always to pray, women, children, young people, everybody. When it talks about men, it's generic. It means all of God's creation, all of the humanity. And he says, people ought to always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. And I think that Jesus is also telling us, if we do not pray, we're going to faint. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to have that fellowship and that communion. So I'm asking you today, that prayer line is open. And if you're a Christian, and maybe you're discouraged, and maybe you're downhearted, and maybe you feel like giving up, well, then get to God in prayer. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Frank E. C. Graff puts it so well. He says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song and the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark? Pardon me. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear and the daylight fades into deep dark shades Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him, does he see? And then the chorus. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. When my days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to tell him how we feel. And you know, sometimes we tell other people how we feel and they're looking all over the creation. They're not listening to you at all. But when you talk to Jesus, when you talk to Heavenly Father, they're always have full attention and they'll help you. So then we have to ask, where do we pray? Some people think they can only pray in the church, or they have to go up to the altar and pray. That's the only place, or they call some place they call a holy place. Well, to say that is simply not true, because God will hear you wherever you are. His people, he'll hear them wherever they are. For instance, Jonah prayed from the belly of a giant fish. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, prayed in the temple. Daniel prayed in an open window in his own room. Later, Daniel prayed in the lion's den, and God gave all the lions lockjaw. Paul prayed when he was in prison. The thief prayed when he was on the cross. Jesus prayed in the garden called Gethsemane. Peter prayed on a housetop. And have you ever heard about the cowboy? This old cowboy, he was walking by a well and he fell in. But he's got those old cowboy boots. You know how those points on there? They caught on the rim of the well. And he was suspended with his head down, looking toward the water. And he's hanging in the well. And there he was. And he says that was the most wonderful prayer, the best prayer that he ever made in his life, when he was hanging by his boots to lower his head in a well somewhere. So where it doesn't matter where you are. You just get from a bed of frailty and sickness, from a wheelchair, from maybe some prison. And we hear from so many in the prison. From one prison, we hear 14 different people. And we write to everyone when they write to us and send them literature. You can be in anywhere you want and pray to that wonderful God. So when do we pray? Well, we pray only when some people pray, only when they get into trouble. And maybe if it's a little trouble, I had a man tell me one time, well, it's not a very big deal. I think I can handle it by myself. I won't bother God, you know, the dumb cluck. God is interested in, listen, he has the hairs of our head numbered. Numbered, not counted, numbered. And when you lose one hair, you lose a number. All the stars in creation, they don't know how many there are. God made them all and he gave them all a name. That's how fine he grinds. And he's interested. If you've got an ingrown toenail, talk to him about it and pray with him about it. And if you're witness to somebody, well, it says pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that we're always on our knees praying. It just simply means that we pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude of prayer. Be so that you can talk to God at any time. Driving down the road, say, well, I don't like to close my eyes while I'm driving. Well, of course not. Where will you come from? You can keep your eyes open and talk to God just the same as if you got your eyes closed. And you can talk to him and wherever you are, whenever you are. And this wonderful Lord will take care of you and help you. Daniel is a big, beautiful picture of this. We read in Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Daniel knew that he would get into the big trouble if he prayed openly, but he prayed openly just the same. And if the king didn't like it, tough luck for the king. He's talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he prays. Daniel had a custom was to pray 3 times a day. And that's what David said in Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my prayer. Simply this, be in an attitude of prayer all times. And then how should we pray? And some people think, well, they have to pray on their knees. And some people think they have to pray in the church. And some people have different ideas. Now, here's something I want you to see. When Daniel prayed, he knelt. When Solomon prayed, he stood. When David prayed, he was prostrate on the ground. When Jonah prayed, he was doubled up in a fish's stomach. When Moses went on the Mount Sinai, there was thunder and lightning and earthquakes and the smoke and shaking, and that's where he prayed. The thief was on the cross when he prayed, and the cowboy was on his in a well upside down when he prayed. And the simple matter is, we can just come to God and pray at any time, at any place. So now let me close with three things about prayer. We must pray in faith. If we don't have faith, we don't please God. And so we need to pray to God to help us and really believe and trust him. And I remember we're much like the people in a small town. And they would give a good illustration. It was a small town, and they were so happy that in their little town they didn't have a liquor store. And everybody in church was so happy. And what wouldn't you know it? Pretty soon here comes a guy, and he puts up a nightclub, and he built it right on Main Street, and they about died. And so the members of the churches, and where they were so upset and they were so distraught that they were praying. And they were praying that God, they all get together. And they were praying all night. And they were praying that God would burn down that evil place. And wouldn't you know it, a storm came. There was a lightning storm. And lightning hit the place and it burned down. And the members of the church were ecstatic and they were praising God. But the nightclub owner had a different point of view. And he wasn't happy, and he knew the church had prayed for the fire, and that did burn down, so he got a lawyer, a first-class lawyer. Well, you know these guys, these lawyers, that, leave it at that. He got a lawyer, and the lawyer's suing the church. They're going for damages because they prayed that the church had burned down, and so God burned it down. So they're suing the church. Now the church, they don't know what to do. They're petrified. They've never been in a lawsuit till they get a lawyer, and he represents them. And when the judge heard the case, this is what he said. He said, "This is a strange case indeed. For on the one hand, I see a tavern owner who believes in prayer. On the other hand, I see a church who does not." And sometimes that's the way we live. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy on us. We need to really believe, and we need to, but always do this. Everything has to be not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus prayed. And that's what he taught us to pray. Not my will, but thine be done. And every time we say, oh, dear God, I hope that you help me to get this job. Oh, dear Lord, I hope you cure me of this illness. Like St. Paul and God. But then you say, but thy will be done. And maybe God will say, yes, I'm going to heal you, Paul. But maybe I'm going, but he told Paul, I'm not going to heal you, Paul. So it's a good thing you said, according to my will, because it was God's will that he have that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. And so when we pray, always, dear Jesus, you have your own way. I wish I could walk again. I wish that I was stronger. I wish that I could do more. But you just give it to Jesus. And maybe if it's his will, it'll happen. We do that on the Christian Worship Hour all the time. We pray, dear Jesus, shall we take this station? We got enough money. Can we get on this station? Can we send money here? We don't know what to do. And so he guides us. But we all say, but your will be done, Lord. And God has blessed us for almost 40 years. And we've never been behind in our bills once. And so God has been good that way. But maybe God will say, now your work is done. And now I'm going to cut it off. And he figures out, cut it off. We get no income. And boy, we'll get the message. It won't be long. We'll lock up and all go fishing. I'll go fishing. I don't know what the rest will do. But we'll just say, thy will be done. And so if you are today, God is talking to you. And you say, dear Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. And maybe you've never prayed to God before. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ. And you could pray right now, dear Jesus. And we know that it's his willing. You don't have to say, thy will be done, when you ask him to save you, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. So, dear Jesus, just come into my heart. Take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can, and I'll love you, and I thank you. Now, if you do that, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I'm going to give it again just a minute here for all of you on the short wave, because you don't have a screen to get that from. We want to hear from you. And then you send us a gift. If you think this is something of the Lord, you send us a gift. And you say, well, how do I know you'll spend it right? Well, maybe you'll just get your fancy car or something. You know, 96-year-old me getting a sports car. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. It's an international organization. They check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And it's all on the level, and we're proud of it. And so you write to us, and we'll send you the materials. You send us some gift to help us on the way. And then those of you who want that little new song, it's just a wonderful little thing you write to us. And then we'll all be on the same page. Now we're going to pray, and we always pray for the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the persecuted in church in China. So Heavenly Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in China. We know that many of them are being put to death and tortured. We know that the little children are running around and they don't even know where their parents are. Maybe they're dead. And so I know you're with them, Lord, and just help us to uphold them in prayer and help us to be willing to die for you too, Lord, if needs be, and we do it gladly and happily. Lord, we're praying today for those that just accepted you. Help them to write so we can send literature. And dear Jesus, help the young people making decisions for life. Just guide them as they listen to the work of the Holy Spirit. And to those on beds of sickness, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are lonely, and those who are weary, and those who are forgotten, help them to know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. We just love you, Jesus, and we know you love us, and we just commit ourselves into your hands. Thank you, our wonderful Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. So we hope that you'll write to us. Hope you'll pray for us. We'll pray for you. And we'll just continue preaching the wonderful, precious Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit will take it and He'll apply it to your hearts. And sometimes He applies it to my heart. Sometimes I'm preaching and I convict myself. So what do you think of that? So, but see, that Word of God is no respecter of persons. And it speaks to people everywhere. And so you just listen and be obedient and you'll find joy and peace. And just write to us if you can now. ChristianWorshipHour.com is the internet on the website, and you can find where we have our stations. You can get the information, ChristianWorshipHour.com. So until next week, God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and we all serve Jesus together. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.